The Reproductive Science Center of New Jersey is a leading provider of advanced reproductive technologies, sharing its knowledge with you. It's time for Fertility Talk with RSCNJ. Here's Melanie Cole.
While the decision and process to have a baby for a heterosexual couple may seem relatively straightforward, for same-sex couples, however, the path to parenthood is quite different. But knowledge is certainly power, and my guest today to discuss LGBT fertility options is Dr. Virginia Mensah. She's a specialist in reproductive endocrinology and infertility at the Reproductive Science Center of New Jersey. Welcome to the show, Dr. Mensah. So first of all, are you seeing very many same-sex couples that are coming in to discuss this, or do you feel that they are somehow held back from coming in to discuss these issues with a reproductive endocrinologist?
Well, thanks again, Melanie, for having me. Very happy to be here. And in answer to your question, you know, I've seen a lot more patients these days coming in as same-sex couples looking for fertility options. So I think the information is getting out to this group of patients, and you know, they're really starting to come a lot more forward with their fertility concerns.
So when they come in for a consultation, is the consultation different for LGBT couples than for heterosexual couples? And if so, how is it different? What do you discuss?
So that's a great question. And it can be a little bit different, but again, there are some tenets of it that are very similar. Typically, what's discussed are very similar things to a heterosexual couple. So for example, the basic details of each of the patients as far as their health histories, medical histories, as well as any prior fertility testing, as well as any prior fertility treatments or exposure that the couple has potentially had in the past. I would say the things that somewhat make it different is, again, for example, in a same-sex female couple relationship, either partner has the opportunity to be essentially the egg source. And so oftentimes for that reason, that evaluation that needs to be done, for example, any blood work or uterine evaluation, would need to potentially be done on both partners, or you know, if they've already decided which partner will carry the pregnancy, then we would focus on that partner.
So what about some of the challenges that they are going to be facing? Because not only in the actual getting pregnant, having a baby, deciding some of those things, but, you know, looking toward life as a parent, a same-sex couple parent, do you discuss the whole big picture of it, or is it really just centered on fertility options?
So great question. And ultimately, you know, at our center, we do kind of like to look at the big picture as well, because oftentimes with same-sex couples, when we're talking about especially a same-sex female couple or even in the setting of a same-sex male couple, there is going to be a third party involved in this reproduction. And again, that third party is either someone that is known to the couple or unknown to the couple if they're using an anonymous donor. So ultimately, because of that and that unique circumstance of introducing somebody else's genetic information into the pregnancy, we do usually like to get the involvement of psychological counselors, ultimately to discuss with the couple all of the potential implications of using another individual's egg or another individual's sperm in order to achieve a pregnancy. So ultimately, that discussion, you know, centers around things like, will they eventually disclose this information to the child at some point, as well as other, you know, future issues that couples don't often think about when they just come in and want to get pregnant.
So then let's start with men, Dr. Mensah. And if two men come in, obviously they're going to need a gestational carrier. So is this somebody, as you mentioned, somebody might be known to them, or they're using somebody that's not known, that they found through an agency? So speak about their options for men trying to conceive a baby, and what effect does that gestational carrier have on the genetic composition of the baby, if any?
Great question, Melanie. So ultimately, for same-sex male couples, they have the challenge of exactly finding a carrier to essentially carry the pregnancy to term and hopefully deliver the pregnancy. And then at the same time, they require an egg source. And that is often going to be, again, either a directed donor, as we call it, which is usually an individual that the couple knows and has gone through the appropriate screening in order to donate her eggs, or it can be done through an anonymous donor. And again, there's a number of both fresh and frozen egg banks available in order to achieve that goal. But regardless, once the couple has selected both their donor as well as their gestational carrier, then exactly, we go through the process of in vitro fertilization. Sometimes we use either one partner sperm, or sometimes under certain situations we'll potentially use both partner sperm to inseminate the eggs to create embryos that then get transferred back into the gestational carrier. What's interesting, though, is the gestational carriers, you know, outside of the uterine environment that she provides, she does not contribute any specific genetic information to this pregnancy. So ultimately, the genetics of the child rely on what's present within, you know, the patient or his partner, as well as what genetic characteristics are present within the donor.
So is there any specific details you go over for the gestational carrier and kind of the three of them coming in for visits together? How does that all work in that dynamic?
So great question. And, you know, ultimately, most times we do try to separate the interests of essentially the couple that's trying to conceive from that of the gestational carrier. And the reason being, again, ethically, principles sort of drive us as far as we want to do our best for each patient. But oftentimes there can be conflicts of interest if we're treating them all as one, if you will. So ultimately, there are visits that occur with the couple, and usually those are sort of separate visits. And we do our best, you know, especially in the situation if it's a sort of anonymous donor or carrier, to kind of keep that medical information separate and private, believe it or not. But ultimately, do they get involved? And, you know, once a pregnancy is achieved, absolutely. And ultimately, a lot of that has to be worked out sort of up front from the legal aspect as far as, you know, essentially coverage of cost, things like that, when using a gestational carrier, such that once they actually do achieve a pregnancy, all of that legal stuff behind the scenes has actually already been worked out.
So now let's talk about females in a relationship. If one of the partners wishes to carry the baby, how is that decided? Is medical history play a role, or the couples themselves? And so speak about the options for lesbian couples.
Yeah, for lesbian couples, they have a number of options because, again, they do have both components necessary to create a pregnancy, with the exception of course, the sperm. So ultimately, when it does come to deciding which partner will carry the pregnancy, it is often a discussion that we have extensively with the patient, and often can be based on the extent of their medical history or their other medical comorbidities. And so oftentimes, if there is a partner, for example, that does have a lot of health history, which could complicate a pregnancy, will often potentially discourage that partner from being the one to carry the pregnancy in favor of, let's say, the other partner if she is medically healthy, for example. But that being said, in those situations, it is often possible, depending on the circumstance, to still potentially, for example, have the one partner act as the donor for the other partner. And that's kind of what's called co-IVF. And it's not necessarily something that's commonly done, you know, all the time, but certainly is something that can be done. And ultimately, you know, besides our own sort of medical discussion as far as who's going to carry the pregnancy, it's also, you know, often something that the couple has sort of determined on their own as well before even coming into our clinic to be evaluated.
What do you hear, Dr. Mensa, as some of their fears and doubts when you hear about, you know, couples come in to see you and they're discussing all of these things and they discuss their fears or their doubts? What do you tell them? What are you hearing?
Well, all the typical fears and doubts, believe it or not, Melanie, that is true for both homosexual and heterosexual couples. But ultimately, things like, will this work? Will it be worth, you know, the time and the energy? What happens if I have a miscarriage? You know, all of those kind of concerns, which are all very valid concerns. And, you know, unfortunately, as fertility specialists, though we do our best to, you know, reach a successful outcome for all of our patients, unfortunately, that doesn't always happen just based on different patient characteristics and demographics. But ultimately, we do our best to just sort of do our due diligence from a workup perspective as well as from a treatment perspective and do our best to achieve the outcome that our couples desire.
So if you would just summarize for us some of the treatment options available to same-sex couples and what you want them to know about RSCNJ being open to meeting with them, to being somebody that is going to really go beyond helping infertile couples, but proudly offering these family building services to everyone that wants to have a child.
Oh, absolutely. We are an absolutely all-inclusive fertility center. And I would say, you know, to our friends within the LGBTQ community, we are absolutely here and ready to help you achieve your fertility goals. And what I would say is, you know, the options are very varied. There's a spectrum of them. So for our same-sex female couples, oftentimes just obtaining donor sperm with combining that with intrauterine inseminations is enough to achieve a pregnancy. Other times, you know, again, in situations where either there's medical or just even social comorbidities going on, there is that option of, as I mentioned, this co-IVF, which is using one partner's sperm in the other partner to carry the pregnancy. And then exactly for same-sex male couples, again, their options include using a donor egg, either somebody that's directed or known to them or an anonymous donor, as well as finding a gestational carrier, all of which are services that we either offer directly through our clinic or that we definitely have close associations and ties with other agencies that do perform, again, gestational carriers or donor egg cycles. And so ultimately, we have essentially full service for both of our heterosexual and homosexual couple types.
Thank you so much, Dr. Mensa. You know, this is a really great topic and something that I feel that people really want to hear about. So it's so wonderful to hear how open you are and receptive and what great information you're offering from the Reproductive Science Center of New Jersey. This is Fertility Talk with RSCNJ. For more information, please visit fertilitynj.com. That's fertilitynj.com. This is Melanie Cole. Thanks so much for listening.